From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 27th day of May, 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes from Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri. We'll get an update of crop progress in Illinois and Iowa from the state statisticians at USDA. And we'll hear all about the weather forecast from Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Near the numbers as they settled in Chicago, July corn today a penny and a half higher. It finished at 320 and a half, the September 325 and a quarter, up one and a quarter, and December corn at 334 and a half higher. The March of next year unchanged at 346 and a half. Next year's May contract unchanged as well at 354. July soybeans, 848 and a half, a settlement price up one and a half. The September at 850 and a half, three quarters higher. November beans up a half at 855 and a half. January futures 859, up a half cent. Bean oil futures 33 cents higher at 2760. The bean meal at 282, down $1.90. July soft red winter wheat 2 1/4 lower at 504 and a half, and the hard red at 451 and 3/4 in the July contract, up 4.5 cents. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished the June at $100.80 per 100 pounds, up $1.40. August at $172.50, rather $100.72.5, up $1.47.5. And feeder cattle in the August at $134.25, up $72.50. June futures in the lean hogs at $60.17.50, a settlement price down $0.32.50. Crude oil futures down $1.37. Ethanol futures a penny and a half lower. Heating oil or diesel fuel down a penny. And gasoline 4 4/10 cents lower for the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average about 240 points higher. The U.S. dollar at 0.15 higher. And the gold futures on the day down $12 even. We're now joined by Jackie Vake. She's at Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri, to help us take a look at what's been happening in the world of the agricultural markets. Hey, Jackie, thanks for being with us, and good afternoon to you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Todd.
Let's start with the support and resistance levels, please.
Well, I'm going to do the same thing this week that I did last week, Todd, because there haven't been a lot of changes. This is a monthly, monthly numbers. So for July, we've got support at 308 and resistance at 329. And so far, the trading range for the month has been 13.25 cents, just like last week. So I would call that extremely range bound. December, resistance at 325. Support at 346, and again, 8 3/4 cent range, which is exactly what it was last week. And so we are extremely range bound in corn. There's no question. July beans, 829 for support, 866 for resistance, and we had a 32 3/4 cent trading range, so it got wider this week. November, 836 for support, 873 for resistance, and we have a 26.5 cent trading range, which also is wider than it was last week. Dow Jones, basically support still at 22,551. Resistance has changed to 25,270. So breaking out of the trend line last week has had some follow through. Now, when we look at managed money, spring wheat this week short 9,000 compared to 10,000 last week. The shortest they've ever been on spring wheat is 155,000, and that was back in 2017. On corn, they're net short 255,000 compared to 226,000 last week. And the 300,000 short area was put in mid-April in 2019. We look at beans. They're long 14,000 versus being long 27,000 last week. The shortest beans have ever been is 175,000, and that was in mid-May of last year. So soy meal, short 29,000 compared to 19. Last week, and soy oil 5,000 long compared to 3,000 short. We move on to export inspections. Wheat exports are running 1% ahead of a year ago compared to 1% last week. Corn 29% behind a year ago. That is improving, 31% last week. And soybeans 4% ahead of a year ago. And last week it was 5%. Now, China took wheat out of the Gulf and the Pacific Northwest this week, and they took beans out of the Atlantic, the Pacific Northwest, and the interior. They've really been aggressively taking beans. No corn for this week at all.
Last week, cattle on feed report was released. Did those numbers tell you anything of importance?
Well, it says to me that there's a lot of cattle out on, out on pasture, basically, because when you look at, the placements at 78% and cattle at 76% and on feed at 95%, it just means that these guys are struggling and trying to figure out what to do with all of the problems that we've had with the packing plants. And so I don't think it was anything that anybody didn't expect.
Let's stay with USDA reports. Weekly crop progress numbers came out yesterday. We'll have some of those in just a moment here on the closing market report. You've been following the North Dakota harvest number. I don't think I saw that yesterday in that report.
No, there wasn't anything for last year, so they must be far enough now that they're not bothering to, report it anymore. But we need to still look at North Dakota because, the question in my mind, Todd, is, are we going to get 1 million acres of prevented plant out of North Dakota this year or 1.5 million? Prices last year certainly encouraged planting, not so much for this year. So we've got them 54% planted versus 79%, which is a five-year average, emerged 12%. Versus 35% on the five-year average. And beans, they have 29% planted versus 60% on a five-year average, and emerged 4% versus 16% on a five-year average. So I think there's a real good argument there that we could actually see guys decide to take prevented plant.
It'll be interesting to see how that plays out and what shows up in the June 30th acreage report from the United States Department of Agriculture, I suppose.
Oh, yes. We're all going to be just waiting with that with bated breath, believe me, because we're going to want to know what's going on.
Let's bounce around the world. You always have some things of interest. I'm told you want to start in China today.
I do. Of course, we have talked right now coming out of D.C. that we may take some action against China due to the Hong Kong unrest. And so I expect that that'll keep the lid on grains, although it doesn't seem to have stopped China from continuing to buy. And we did see China actually, Unknown actually turn around and send beans to the Philippines. So Unknown in the past has always been China itself. And so that indicates, that there's some movement going on. But one of the things I found, Todd, that I thought was really interesting is China's grain and sugar imports for April 2020 and for the year to date. On corn, they've taken 890,000 tons. I did not change it to bushels, but the amount isn't as important as what the change is. That's 33.6% more than last year for April. And they are currently 29.8% ahead of where they were last year for corn in general. On wheat, 360,000 metric tons, 66% ahead of last year for April, 30.7% ahead on wheat for this year. Barley's a lagger. They're behind 31.6%. And for the year, they're down 43.7%. Now, here comes the big one, sorghum. Sorghum for April was up 8,934.7%, and for the year, we're up 19,358.4%. That's almost hard to believe, And on pork, for April, 169.9% up. For the year, 170.4%. And then sugar's the lagger. It was down 63.6% for the month of April, but only down 2.8% for the entire year. So kind of interesting numbers. That sorghum number is really something, I'll tell you. And I've noticed it on the inspections and on the sales that they've been busy with taking a lot of sorghum.
Are those global import numbers for them, or are those just the changes from the U.S.?
No, these, as far as I know, they came out of Reuters. They don't say whether they are or they aren't, but to me, I believe this is U.S.
All right.
Not global.
All right. So, and
so especially when I look at how much sorghum they've been taking.
And they had said earlier in the year, or at least we had seen reports, I think probably from Reuters or Bloomberg, that the Chinese were expected to try to put in some stocks on the idea that there would be a COVID-19 or coronavirus upsurge in the fall, potentially, and they wanted to protect against it. So I guess the numbers must support that.
I guess, they're following through on what they said they were going to do. And that's probably another way of being able to meet some of phase one, is to increase some of that. And sorghum, sorghum is really good for feeding to a lot of different animals. So it's kind of interesting. Now let's bounce down to Brazil. Shipments out of the port of Paranaguá this week were halted and it's basically due to the virus. Farmer selling has slowed down there. The real has strengthened slightly. And like we talked last week, dry weather concerns, I'm sure with 80% sold and 60-some percent sold on new crop, that they are really worried, you know, about being able to meet the contracts that they want. So they are still rapidly selling beans, there's no question about that, and exporting them outside of other ports. Expectations are still for a decline after June and July, just due to having a lot less inventory in stock, which could really easily send them to us for even more beans. Argentina, first we're going to talk about water flowing from the Itapo Dam is expected to raise the level 6.5 to 9.75 feet when it arrives down at the Port of Rosario. It hasn't done that yet. It'll take quite a while for it to get down there. But this is also going to help the barges from Paraguay that I talked about last week that have been stranded now for 50 days on the Paraná River, and that's due to the low water level. So it's going to help them. It's not going to cure all the problems. That's just the way things are.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you taking the time with me today.
Thank you, Todd. You have a great day.
You too. Jackie Vanks is with Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson. Yesterday, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows as of Sunday, 88% of the corn had been planted across the nation. 82% is the rolling five-year average. 64% of that crop is up and growing. 58% is the five-year average. It's said to be in its first condition report of the year, 58% good and 12% excellent, for a total of 70% good to excellent for the corn. Soybeans planted now at 65% compared to 55% on the rolling five-year average, emerged at 35%, and that compares to 27% over the previous 5 years. There is no conditions report nationwide for the soybeans. A quick look at the winter wheat crop across the United States, 68% of that crop is headed, 72% is the five-year average. It's said to be in 46% good and 8% excellent condition. That's up from the 44% and 8% that was registered last week. Now, here are some of the numbers from Illinois and Iowa.
This is Brad Medlock, agricultural statistician for the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service, Upper Midwest Regional Field Office. Rain throughout the week resulted in 2.5 days suitable for field work during the week ending May 24th, 2020. Below normal temperatures have slowed crop growth. Topsoil moisture levels rated 0% very short, 2% short, 76% adequate, and 22% surplus. Iowa farmers have planted 97% of the expected corn crop, 3 weeks ahead of last year and almost 2 weeks ahead of the five-year average. Corn emergence was at 82%, an improvement of 20 percentage points from the previous week. The first corn condition rating of the season was 0% very poor, 2% poor, 17% fair, 67% good, and 14% excellent. The soybean crop moved to 92% planted, nearly a month ahead of last year and over 2 weeks ahead of average. Farmers in southwest Iowa have over 25% of their soybeans left to plant. 52% of the soybean crop has emerged, doubling the amount of soybeans emerged from the previous week. 95% of the oat crop has emerged. Oat condition rated 81% good to excellent. Hay condition rated 73% good to excellent. Pasture condition improved to 66% good to excellent. There was little stress on livestock, although feedlots remained muddy. For the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Regional Field Office, this is Brad Medlock.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Last week was cooler than normal around Illinois, and rainfall was mixed around the state. Only 1.6 days were judged as suitable for field work by survey respondents, and planting progress moved forward slowly. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated 53% adequate and 47% surplus. The average rainfall for the prairie state last week was 1.12 inches, and that was 1/4 inch above normal for the week. Rainfall totals were below average in western and southern areas, and northeastern Illinois had the most rainfall last week. Temperatures averaged 63.9 degrees and ranged from just slightly below normal to more than 2 degrees below normal. Soybean planting advanced to 65% complete, well ahead of last year's 13%, and also ahead of the five-year average of 56%. 37% of soybean acres have emerged compared to 33%. normally. Corn planting is now 89% finished. That compares to just 32% 1 year ago and 82% for the five-year average. 66% of corn acres have emerged compared to 69% normally. The first condition rating for the 2020 corn crop in Illinois shows 7% of acres in very poor to poor condition, 38% fair, and 55% in good to excellent condition. 82% of winter wheat acres are now headed. That compares to 74% last year and 87% normally. The condition of the winter wheat crop was reported as 12% very poor to poor, 33% fair, and 55% good to excellent. That is worse than last week, but better than 1 year ago. The first cutting of alfalfa hay is now 14% finished, and other hay harvest is 17% complete. Pasture conditions were rated 4% very poor to poor, 29% fair, and 67% good to excellent. That is a little worse than last week and a little better than 1 year ago. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for the weekly crop progress reports from across the Midwest. By the way, North Dakota, 54% planted for corn. The rolling five-year average there is 79%. North Dakota's Prevent Plant Day has passed. That was on Monday, the 25th day of May. On this Wednesday, let's check the weather forecast now with Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you. And it looks like it's going to turn a little different across the U.S. here in the not-so-distant future with maybe a warming trend coming up.
Well, why don't you tell me about that?
Well, there is a high-pressure ridge that's going to be developing over the western United States as we go forward through the balance of this work week and into the weekend. It's going to be a fairly significant ridge. The western United States is already a little dry bias, so it's going to be allowed to build on itself a little bit, and it's going to move eastward. As it shifts into the plains, it will become a very significant event in the sense of producing well above average temperatures in the north and west part of the Great Plains. This will occur as we finish out the weekend and move into early next week. And I'm probably going to be talking about 90-degree temperatures for much of that region. It would not surprise me at all to see a couple of extremes pushing up close to 100. This will occur in the driest areas, of course, and probably look for that in places like maybe West Texas or eastern Colorado, western Kansas, maybe even a couple of spots coming close to 100 in South Dakota. Temperatures will get into the 90s all the way up across the Canada border. So a pretty significant event. It'll last for a few days. Next week, we'll see a part of that work its way across the Midwest. But the top of the ridge is expected to break away. And so the warmth in the Midwest will not be as significant as it will be in the plains. And we'll look for the ridge to re-establish itself in the southern plains and southern Rocky Mountain region late next week.
Sometimes there is a difference or variation between the western part of the United States and the eastern part of the United States. Is there anything in the offing that tells you that will be the case in the coming month or so?
Yeah, I think that for the most part, we are going to see some more ridginess in the western U.S., while the east will probably have some cooler shots of air coming down from eastern Canada. So portions of the northern and eastern Midwest will probably see some milder temperatures periodically and some additional precipitation, especially in the middle and north Atlantic region and the easternmost parts of the Midwest. But we will probably have quite a bit of dry bias conditions occurring in the middle of the country and also in the central and southern Rocky Mountain region. We might be able to generate a few storms, though, in the Pacific Northwest.
And I know this is still not quite there yet, but sometimes when we look far enough to the east, off of the coast of Africa, we'll start the hurricane season. And I'm wondering if there's anything there that we should be concerned about at all.
Well, actually, I think the situation off the Africa coast right now is fairly stable. I'm not looking for any kind of tropical development to occur out that way for a while. But that will be different in the Caribbean Sea and off the coast of Central America as we get out into the week next week. Conditions are getting much better for some kind of tropical development to occur. In fact, the National Hurricane Center is already predicting a tropical storm will form in the eastern Pacific off the Central America coast already over the next couple of days. But there will be another system that will be on the Caribbean side of the Central America coast, and that system is the one that has a lot of people watching rather closely, because this time next week there ought to be some kind of organized tropical cyclone, either a tropical storm, maybe something more significant, but a tropical depression possibly, that will be in the Caribbean and will be moving towards the Gulf of Mexico. And so we'll be watching that real closely, but it is a full week away.
In Europe, UK, France, Germany are drying down still?
They are. We just saw a report here in the last 24 hours that they are starting to reduce some of the yield potentials in France, and talk about the same thing possibly happening in parts of the UK and Germany as well. Topsoil moisture is not critically low at the moment, but it certainly is ebbing in that direction, and there is no rain expected in those areas for the next 7 days, and temperatures are going to trend warmer. And once they start heating up, I think we'll start seeing a quick deterioration in those crop conditions.
What's your assessment of the early growing season in China?
You know, it's been very good up to this point in time, but we are starting to see a notable drying trend occurring in east central China. Some of the very most important summer crop areas in a couple of provinces that are between the Yellow and Yangtze rivers are turning quite dry. And that dryness actually extends up across the Yellow River and into the western parts of Inner Mongolia. So we're talking about a fairly large region of China that is drying out. And there's not a lot of precipitation coming up over the next 7 to 10 days across that region. A few showers, but not enough to really counter evaporation. So I'm a little bit concerned that a part of that region may end up seeing some kind of stressful environment here before we get beyond the first week of June. So we now are putting that on our radar chart, and we'll be watching closely for a while.
Any updates on South America?
You know, most of the conditions down there are still looking very good. This past weekend, there was a substantial rain event that occurred across some of the Brazil safrinha crop areas, and that really helped a lot. Now, some of those eastern production areas were terribly stressed going into the weekend, but they did get better than expected rain and probably got enough moisture to help them see a stop in the deterioration in crop conditions and yield potentials. So we are probably at a point now where the crop will finish out in a relatively good sense, but we did lose production potentials earlier this month. And the outlook for Brazil now is mostly a drier, biased environment again, but it's now late enough in their growing season that that's probably not going to be an issue. And in Argentina, the only thing to be worried about there is it's a bit dry in the western wheat production areas, and significant rain is going to be needed soon. We are going to be looking at aggressive wheat planting over the next few weeks, and so rain is going to become more and more important soon.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Have a good day.
You too. That, of course, is Drew Lerner. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Look us up. Listen to us on demand. Play us right out of our webpage at willag.org. Just click and play the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. You can also find those two as a podcast in your favorite podcast applications like Stitcher, SoundCloud, NPR One, Spotify, Apple Podcast, and Google Podcast. However you listen to us, thank you so much for taking your time and spending it with us here at Illinois Public Media and our agricultural programming. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.